Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Monday, July 6th. Immigration agency officials are saying applications are low at the moment because of the pandemic, while activists are saying it's actually Trump's policies that are greatly reducing the number of applications. Those application fees fund the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, and BuzzFeed News is reporting that the agency is about to furlough 60% of its staff, which in a spiral or a cycle would create further complications to an already complex immigration process. There was also the H-1B visa suspension for the rest of the year announced by the Trump administration. People who were able to be brought into this country because of specific skills that you have that are more in demand than the U.S. native-born workforce would supply. No more H-1B visas for the moment. So we invite your stories about any of these things, how they're affecting you or how they're affecting people you know. And with us to help take your calls and give some insight into the impact of these new announcements and the Supreme Court ruling is Anu Joshi, the Vice President for Policy of the New York Immigration Coalition. Anu, thanks for coming on today. We really appreciate it.
No, happy to be here, Brian. A lot to talk about.
Oh, so much to talk about. So let's start with last Monday, where the president extended the freeze on green cards for new immigrants and signed the executive order to suspend issuing green cards and new H-1B, L-1J, and other temporary work visas without going into too much policy speak about what every category is. Who's really being targeted here?
So it targets, I mean, the original ban, which was extended and in length of time and who is covered in that executive order from last week, is most, if not all, people who are coming to the United States for temporary work, for temporary work purposes under different visa categories. So it's actually really going to impact, of course, those workers, but also the American businesses that hire them, that rely on them, that were planning on having them here to do work. The ban also impacts many different kinds of family reunification categories. So people who have been waiting, in some cases, decades to reunite with siblings or with other family members are now being told, hey, even though, you know, your time had finally come, for no apparent reason, at least none that makes sense to me, we're now telling you, sorry, you have to keep waiting. And so it really means that families are going to stay apart. And you know, that's tragic.
What was the Trump administration trying to accomplish with this? I mean, one could make an argument that in the pandemic, when there is such rampant unemployment, that it's not the time to bring in or extend a lot of workers from other countries. On the other hand, we know that there's a pre-existing agenda to cut down on the number of immigrants, legal as well as illegal, in any way possible from Stephen Miller and others in the administration.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think the president is seeing the same poll numbers as everyone is seeing. And we know from, you know, starting with his campaign and through the last 3.5 years of his presidency, whenever he's feeling threatened or vulnerable, his first instinct is to fear monger. And his, you know, number one target has and, you know, continues to be immigrants, people of color. And so this is just, you know, one more way to rile up his base, to try to paint a picture of who's to blame rather than taking responsibility.
Let's take our first caller, Lizanna in Florham Park in New Jersey, who was an H-1B visa recipient. Lizanna, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me. I just wanted to say that as a former foreign student, you pay full price to come to the U.S. You have no access to loans or to anything that a normal U.S. citizen does have access to when they come to study to the U.S. Not only that, if you need to take out a loan, the loans are a business, honestly, for colleges and universities. So it is in their best interest to have these students here. All these students want is at least a year to be able to practice what they've learned in this wonderful country that is the United States. And to not have that for these students, I feel their pain. It's awful. And then having to go back to a country where, you know, they've gambled all their life savings and not being able to pay back these loans or not being able ever to, it's just a very difficult situation for them. So I just wanted to share that so that everybody knows that it's not just like, oh, we're not giving them jobs. These people gambled on them to the U.S.
Lizanna, thank you so much for that. And boy, she put a lot of meat on those bones with respect to students and, you know, so many foreign students paying full freight at universities. So it becomes part of the economic model of a number of colleges and universities in this country and the banking sector and the loan machines. And then what's the fair social contract? I didn't even realize it was that little of just 1 year that you get to work in the country after that. So can you expand on what Lizanna was talking about?
Yeah, so actually, you know, it's so true. And, you know, we rely not just for their fees to bolster our higher education institution, as she mentioned, but also to provide, you know, diversity of opinion and experience. And we gain so much from being able to welcome foreign students to our country. I will say that while we know that the Trump administration has been examining and talking about this program that allows foreign students to stay for 1 year after they graduate, has been under review by the administration and has been threatened, it was not included in the visa, in the immigration ban that he signed last week. So it's maybe a small, you know, a small glimmer, but, you know, that's not to say literally anything is possible with this president, but, you know, that's where we are right now.
Comrade in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi there, thank you for calling in.
Morning, Brian. Thank you very much for your all in fact you're sharing with us. One thing is very much clear, Brian, when we're thinking about the honor and respect of this country and among the nations, it's really badly affected. Why? It's a reason. The policies and the acts, especially the present government, Mr. Trump, it shows that you are believe only might is right. And you don't want to care about anybody's feeling and anybody's charter of the United Nations Charter, especially against the immigrants we are talking about now. It will bring any honor to this country that you pick on the immigrants, that we are the reason, I'm immigrant, Muslim immigrant from Pakistan, that we are the reason immigrants are all ill in this country. Sorry, Mr. Brian, we are not. The last 100 years, two-party government in this country. That's the reason. We are trying to add something and trying to prevent and promote the values of our elders, which is a very wonderful values, meaning respect to others, no racism, no fascism, no occupations. And be honest with you, you don't know how many people at this moment stuck in their countries, especially the family visas.
Yes, and I'm going to leave it there for time to get some other people on. But Comrade, thank you very much. Anu, do you want to jump in on any of that?
Yeah, I mean, as one, you know, good example, we had a good Supreme Court ruling on the DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, at the end of June, which basically said that the way the Trump administration ended DACA was arbitrary and capricious and not rational, not reasonable, and ordered that the DACA program continue. You know, we're still waiting on USCIS to issue guidance to ensure that new applicants will be able to file for DACA, and that they are going to continue the advanced parole program, which allowed DACA recipients to be able to apply and say, listen, I need to leave the United States. Some of, you know, these individuals haven't been able to leave the United States for decades because they need to go see a dying family member, or they have some other incredibly critical, you know, reason. And we're still waiting, and USCIS has not yet issued guidance on whether or not they will follow the Supreme Court's ruling and can, you know, renew the advanced parole program for DACA recipients.
Sasheen, am I saying your name right? In Oakland, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian, how are you? Long-time listener, you are actually my contact to New York, being homesick after living in New York for 17 years.
My
two-part question is...
You're up early on the West Coast there. Go ahead.
I am. So I've been in this country for 17 years. I'm a computer engineer, an MBA from a U.S. university, worked here for 17 years. And I have been here on a work visa and my green card's in application for the last 11 years. And the impact on an immigrant's life with that situation is you can't change jobs that easily. You can't you can't get fired, because if you get fired, you have to let go. You have to leave the country in 60 days. You can buy stuff, but you're always under the pressure of the insecurity of what can happen. So there's that element of insecurity. But the other piece is also in this current state where Trump has put in this executive order, I can't go back home. And my dad's have an ailing dad. So if I leave the country, I can't come back. And my larger point here, this is not only a Trump issue. I think it's a lot of this stuff has also been caused by Democrats who are actually holding up legal immigration to make sure that illegal immigration goes through. And I have my sympathy with everybody, but it's 17 years is a long time not having a legal status, a permanent status here.
Wow. So, Anu, I don't know if you're going to agree with him on every point that he made there, but can you give him any advice for how he could go home to visit his sick father in India and have any confidence of coming back?
Unfortunately, I can't offer any advice. It's shameful that you've been waiting this long. And we know that individuals in both the employment-based category, like yourself, and in family-based categories are waiting, you know, decades for their green cards because of an arbitrary cap and we've placed as a country on how many people are allowed to become green card holders. And so, you know, I agree, it's not just under Republican presidents, not just under President Trump, under both parties, there is blame. But what we also know is that under President Trump in the last 3.5 years, the process by which individuals apply for and receive both their employment visas and their green cards has become incredibly arduous and nonsensical in some cases. There's increased processing delays, a slew of regulatory changes that make no sense. There's increased requests for evidence that are, you know, don't have any relevance to the application. And basically, this administration is, you know, doing everything it can through regulation, through policy change, and through implementation to make it as hard as possible for people, for immigrants to come to this country, and once they come, to be able to become green card holders and then citizens.
Mm. Sasheen, good luck. I wish we could offer you more help, not just moral support, but please call us again. And let's get one more in here. Priyanka in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Priyanka. We've only got about a minute for you, but thank you so much for calling.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much. You're such a North Star right now. I'm calling to share a story about a friend of mine who got a PhD from Brown and is currently teaching in Canada and was offered a postdoc at Harvard and can't come because of dual reasons, because the pandemic has shut down embassies abroad. But then since the current ban, it's also not entirely clear to us if J-1 visas are part of this ban for postdocs. We know that they are for interns and other seasonal workers. So this was my question for your guest. And my other issue is also, it's entirely unclear to me how someone who is offered a postdoc at Harvard is taking away a job from a citizen.
Thank you, Priyanka. Can you answer both her questions briefly? Anu?
I'm not sure if I can answer specifically, but I do know that most J-1 visas for students and visitors have been suspended until at least the end of the year under the ban. But I 100% agree. You know, we, as you stated at the top of the show, Brian, that this isn't about employment. This isn't about preserving jobs for Americans. This is about racism and anti-immigrant extremism agenda that this administration has.
We've got 45 seconds for a follow-up. What do you say to some people who argue, and we have a couple of callers on this who we're not going to have time to get to, but pushing back and saying, wait, there are enough people to take a lot of the jobs that companies are kind of abusing to bring in immigrants who are going to work for less than people here. We have 20 seconds.
What I would say is history shows us that cutting legal immigration has never saved jobs for Americans and could actually really end up preventing many Americans from getting jobs. We know that immigrants help create jobs in this country. And so I think we should just look at our history and what we have tried this before in the past, and it didn't work.
Anu Joshi is the Vice President for Policy of the New York Immigration Coalition. Thanks so much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is obviously also a daily coronavirus podcast under the circumstances in our country right now. We'll keep staying on top of things to serve you the best we can. And remember, this podcast is excerpted from my live weekday call-in show, The Brian Lehrer Show. If you want to be a caller or just hear it live, it's from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time on WNYC Radio in New York, or online at WNYC.org. You can also tweet a question at us anytime. Just tweet at Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening today.